B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
A 19-year-old Floridian man was arrested, or no, a Floridian woman, I should say, was arrested after she pulled her pants down and urinated in front of a cop car. It made matters worse on her way to jail when she had allegedly offered to perform a sex act on the patrolman in exchange for her Juul e-cigarette.
Oh, man.
Madison Ann Bryant.
That's all she wanted?
Was charged on Sunday with disorderly intoxication and offering a bribe to a public servant,
okay,
which is a felony, by the way.
Give me the Hummer.
cops discovered Bryant around 2:20 a.m. sitting in the median. Bryant explained that she had exited a nearby truck after arguing with the male driver about their relationship issues.
Is she a lot lizard?
No. While her 22-year-old beau was getting busted for drunk driving, Bryant, who appeared to be heavily intoxicated, was not facing arrest. However, as Bryant waited with deputies for a ride home, she stated she needed to use the bathroom and wished to go on the side of the road. After a cop said he would instead drive her to a gas station to use the restroom, Bryant, quote, pulled her pants down and urinated directly in front of a squad car, gripping the vehicle's push bar as traffic passed by.
This is very handy.
Upon pulling her pants back up, Bryant was arrested for disorderly intoxication. En route to the county jail, Bryant repeatedly asked a sheriff's deputy to give back her Juul vaping device, which was confiscated post-arrest. Bryant said that she used the Juul for anxiety. And at one point, the deputy reported, "Madison asked me if I was married and had children." After the cop responded to that query, Bryant allegedly stated that she, quote, was not trying to F that up, and that she would suck my D if I gave her Juul. After being offered this by Madison, I did not reply and continued to the jail. She was then charged with a felony bribery count for the illicit offer.
I'm going to get extra sloppy for you.
Bryant, whose occupation is listed as real estate in the arrest paperwork, is scheduled for arraignment. A drunk farmer took a combine harvester out for a joyride, managed to flip the farm vehicle over with his bad driving.
How do you flip a combine?
Those things are gigantic. Michael Carr is said to have totaled the huge green piece of machinery after getting behind the wheel in Berthold, North Dakota, while under the influence.
You're probably talking like $150,000, $200,000 or something like that, right?
Easily a couple hundred grand, I would imagine. Carr, who is originally from Seattle, allegedly crashed the John Deere combine on Monday and was arrested shortly after. He's also... Ow.
I know.
That was loud.
I felt that.
He also is accused of driving the farm machinery on a revoked license.
Ah.
Police shared a mugshot of a bleary-eyed Carr and multiple photos of the wrecked combine. It was photographed on its roof with its front window smashed out.
We have the picture up in the studio. How the hell did he do that?
The vehicle appears to have flipped over on the side of a flat road right on the edge of a relatively level field. So, yeah, Steve, it was flat. How did he get it over like that? Police have yet to comment on how it crashed in such a dramatic fashion. All right, listen to this evil son of a bitch. An Arizona man has been arrested after he allegedly faked having terminal ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, to scam sympathetic donors into giving him a free motorized wheelchair, free truck repairs, and fundraise for $9,000 speech device. Christopher Wade Nelson was arrested following a 7-month investigation on multiple felony charges. At the time of his arrest, he was out on pretrial release for pending charges related to another similar scam in 2016, where he allegedly faked having pancreatic cancer to defraud his high school friends for donations.
So this is his thing, his John.
In that case, he reportedly received $30,000 in donations from high school alumni over a 5-year period and sent emails saying that he died by suicide. After being released, he fraudulently claimed to have ALS to dupe people into giving him free perks. Police say Nelson engaged in the schemes between May 2018 and May 2020 to delay his pending criminal trial. They said he used Instagram to ask the owner of an auto shop to repair his 1951 Chevy truck for free so he could take one last ride to his terminal ALS. He also reportedly fabricated, forged, and with intent to defraud documents from the Mayo Clinic. Physicians there submitted through his legal counsel, faking a terminal illness to avoid court appearances. The Mayo Clinic says it didn't sign the documents.
The amount of work you have to go through to try to keep your lie going You know, it's just insane that he's juggling all this bullcrap.
He also used social media to get a physical therapist and real ALS patients to conduct a $9,000 fundraiser to get him a speech device, it is alleged. Now, in February 2020, when he appeared in court, he arrived in a motorized wheelchair, and his attorney said he could no longer speak. But police surveillance video of his home shows Nelson walking. He was reportedly seen washing and driving a car, doing yard work, heavy lifting, and dancing.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. Because of my disease, I can no longer speak.
Police say Nelson was checked out by jail doctors who confirmed he does indeed not have ALS.
Wait a minute.
Hang on a second.
You just said those words.
Yep. 93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand. It's the Bizarre File Podcast.
A man in Brisbane, Australia, returned home to find two huge snakes so big that they had actually fallen through his kitchen ceiling on Monday. The carpet pythons measured 9.5 feet and 8.2 feet long, according to snake catcher Steve Brown, who removed them from the property.
Fortunately, some funnel web spiders came running out from under the couch and killed them.
He said both these snakes were two of the fattest snakes I've seen, as in the amount of muscle they had.
It's a fat snake.
He said they were very well fed. The snake catcher posted the shocking find on Facebook, including a number of incredible photos in the post.
Does anyone give a rat's ass about that in Australia with all the stuff that can kill you?
Brown revealed that his customer had found two very large coastal carpet pythons in his house. When he got home, he said, it wasn't until I got there that I found out that they had come crashing through the customer's ceiling in the kitchen.
That freaking big.
When Brown arrived, he found one of the snakes next to the front door, the other one in the bedroom. The snake catcher said that it is breeding season for the snakes, and it's likely the two males were fighting over a nearby female who could have been in the roof or somewhere around the house. So they might have another one lurking around.
Oh, that's wonderful.
They were relocated about a half mile away from the man's house.
Oh, yeah, why don't you throw them out the window?
In a state forest.
It's all right. We put them in your backyard.
Yep. This is terrible. A Dallas man confessed to killing his wife and two children, and he said he did it because he had a headache and they were being too loud. Murder. His own family. James Lee Webb called police about an hour after fatally shooting his wife, Victoria Bunton, and their two teenage sons. Horrible. In East Dallas. The complainant and the suspect woke up together, began arguing about 10 a.m. because the suspect had a headache, and the complainant and two children were being too loud. During the argument, the suspect produced a handgun, shot the complainant at least two times, causing her death, and then turned his weapon on the teens. Unbelievable. Waited an hour before calling 911. The suspect stated, this is according to the police, that he was tired of all three of the victims yelling and telling him that there was nothing wrong with him, so he shot them. Webb, who was charged with capital murder, was booked into the Dallas County Jail, so you can bet he's going to jail for a long time.
If it wasn't that, it would have been something else. Yeah.
In California, a bear wandered inside a grocery store on Tuesday night, nonchalantly grabbed a bag of Tostitos chips in his mouth, and then headed back outside, and it was all caught on camera.
And he wasn't wearing a mask.
Adina Bedu shot the video at the Safeway grocery store on the northern shore of Lake Tahoe near the Nevada border. Bedu was walking out of the store with her cart, and that's when she took the first video showing the bear eating garbage next to a trash can. He went outside. It's like being at Wawa.
Yeah.
Just hanging out by the trash can. And munching on his Tostitos.
Stuff is great.
Mm-hmm.
I always come to Wawa's garbage.
Bedu then took her cart to her van and came back to shoot the other two videos. And during that time, the bear had wandered inside the store.
I mean, he walked past, like, fresh, like, food,
yes,
right? Like,
yeah,
he walked past, like...
There's no accounting for taste.
No. Well, bears love... Do they love, like, donuts and chocolate?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's their thing. So he wasn't in there for long, however.
I like chocolate croissants. They're really good.
You like pound chocolate?
Oh, my God. It's like chocolate in a croissant.
Video delicious. Shows the bear.
I've often wondered if you could take two pieces of Wonder Bread and put a Hershey bar between them.
Yeah. The video shows the bear grabbing the bag of chips and wandering away. No injuries were reported. He was just going in to pick up some snacks. That's pretty much it. An ornate fountain in eastern Belgium has given up an object that it held for more than a century, and it is actually the physical heart of the city's first mayor. The organ, sealed in a jar of alcohol.
We just throw coins into our fountains.
Inside a small zinc casket was found during renovation of the fountain.
That's amazing.
The casket is now on show in the city's Museum of Fine Arts.
I'm sure the mayor was happy to be reunited with it.
Mayor Pierre David died in 1839.
Oh.
But the fountain named after him was only inaugurated in 1883. An engraving on the casket says it was placed in the monument at the time. It reads, the heart of Pierre David was solemnly placed in the monument on 25 June 1883.
And then below it in Latin, taco cat.
that's a palindrome.
Yes, it is.
The alderman for Public Works, Maxime Daigy, said, an urban legend has become reality. The casket was in the upper part of the fountain, right near the bust of Pierre David, behind a stone, which we had removed during the fountain's renovation. They said the casket found by the builders... was in really impeccable condition.
What an impeccable casket.
Mayor Pierre David died in a fall at 68 while working in his hayloft in 1839.
I'm going to be working in my hayloft.
The city authorities launched a collection fund for a monument to honor him, and his family's consent surgeons removed his heart so that it could be entombed in the monument.
He was dead at that point, correct?
He was dead, yes. So they didn't remove his still beating heart. Then took decades for the city to collect enough money to erect a suitable ornate monument, which they did. So I don't know. What are they going to do with the Sid? There are arguments over how to best honor the city's first mayor.
No?
Never mind.
Mayor!
Anyway, I don't know what they're going to do with the heart. I guess they're going to put it in a museum. Throw it away.
I mean,
they're going to feed it to the
mayor. Yeah. Come on. Barrel like it. Yeah.
What do you do with it anyway? I mean,
I think they'll put it in a museum.
Okay. Probably turn it into a pot pipe.
All right, and then one last thing. Let's go with this. The Vatican is establishing a new department that will try to disassociate the reverence of the Virgin Mary with Italian organized crime. Mafia groups have, for more than a century, misused the figure of the Virgin Mary, one of the most important biblical characters and symbols in Catholicism, to bolster their legitimacy. The new department at the Pontifical International Marian Academy, the Vatican's premier academy for Mariology, which is the part of Christian theology dealing with the Mother of Jesus Christ, now wants to put an end to it.
Jesus Christ.
In a letter to Father Stefano Cecchin.
Dear Father Cecchin.
Pope Francis welcomed the move, saying
that... I think the Virgin Mary should be associated with the Mafia.
Saying that it aimed to free the Madonna from superstructure's powers or conditioning that does not correspond to the gospel criteria of justice, liberty, honesty, and solidarity. Mafia groups have hijacked the Madonna's veneration in order to present themselves as having God on their side.
Yes.
So they're not having it anymore.
We are no longer standing for this.
At the Vatican. So they're going to try to end that somehow or another.
Oh, this is what I wanted to mention.
Or like a Chino suit.
Yeah.
What I wanted to mention is that the in the bizarre file, the bear story in the store at Lake Tahoe.
Yeah.
Is a quarter of a mile from my house.
Really?
I shopped at that store when I came to visit you a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
What's the bear population like in that area?
It's quite overwhelming now.
Is it? Yeah.
I remember when we came to visit you, sorry to interrupt here, but there are bear sightings all the time. And so they'll end up in a Safeway, for example, because you'll just kind of hear it through the grapevine. It's like, yeah, there was one down the road over there, and six people that were driving saw it crossing the street or whatever. And there's pretty much just the one road that goes around the entire lake, and it can be an issue because they'll cross the street, and it can be like deer around here.
Oh, well, yeah, the Safeways are like Acme stores out there, and it's a big supermarket chain, and half a mile, if that, from my house.
That's
is
wild.
The store that this bear went into and helped himself to Tostitos or Doritos or some kind of O's, and I rent my place in the summertime, and some of the renters sent me pictures of a bear on the deck.
Wow.
Going through their...
Look, this is me with Trini Lopez.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's priceless.
Grin and Greg made me a magnet that said, we taught Trini Lopez how to water ski.
That's great.
But, yes, the bear was going through the renter's cooler... And had drunk all their alcoholic beverages and then proceeded to finish off all their Mountain Dews. So they had a fully caffeinated, drunk bear going down, heading towards the lake.
They're amazing animals. Yeah. And because, you know, people move into the area, they get access to things they normally wouldn't. But you have to juxtapose the notion that they're incredibly powerful, efficient killers.
Right.
But they're also... they're beautiful and adorable in a bizarre way. It's the ultimate
cuddle with them.
You clearly do, but though they would rip you in half.
Exactly. So there it is.
Love it. All right. That's what I have in the Bizarre File.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.